It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hanging out in studio with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, and Frank did a great job. It was a long-form outlook of the 2018 season of the Denver Broncos. If you didn't know anything about the Broncos, guys, this article could catch you up. It was released on Monday. Check it out. It's on Frank's Twitter. I've retweeted it myself. You took a deep dive into this organization, this program, this plan for success in 2018. What sticks out as something that is just going to be a heel potentially in the Broncos side?
I'm going to surprise you with this. It's the defense.
Really?
The defense, I think we'd both agree, the defense wasn't the same last year.
It was not.
This is an organization that right now is set up where if they don't have a top five-ish defense, they ain't going anywhere. This isn't going to be, well, the offense is great and the defense was 12th and you're going to the playoffs. You need this to be a top five defense. Last year, they gave up I believe it was 69.7 passer rating in 2016. It was an unbelievable defense. They were great that year. Last year was about 92.4 passer rating allowed, and that's one stat. I get that. But John Elway's mentioned many times they were 22nd, I believe, in the NFL last year in points allowed. It was a defense that wasn't bad. It was a good defense, but not a great defense. And I wonder, can you recapture that? Especially without Aqib Talib. I mean, he's a big part of what they did. Cornerback depth was, I believe, that and Von Miller were the hallmarks of that defense in the glory days. Now you've cut away that a little bit by getting rid of Aqib Talib. Is this still a great defense? It's a good defense. I'll give you that. But is it top five? Because you need it to be a top five defense.
Well, when you say you need it to be a top five, I'm looking at that as a prerequisite for a playoff berth.
I would agree. Yeah. I guess you would have to tell me a pretty crazy story to tell me that they finished 11th in defense, but yet made the playoffs. Like, it's too hard for me to get that around in my head right now.
But that must mean on the other side of the ball, you are just pessimistic about this offense?
Not necessarily. I think they're going to go, where'd you place them last year? Just randomly, right?
Offensively?
Yeah, 25th.
Yeah, anywhere between 25th and 30th.
Okay. If you improve that to 16th, middle of the league, I think that's realistic. I don't think that's bad by any means. I think that's a fairly good offense. You're middle of the league, you're average. If your defense is good enough, I believe that works. Those two things can work together. I'm not necessarily pessimistic on the offense. I don't think they're a top 10 offense. It would be Royce Freeman would have to be rookie of the year, and Case Keenum would have to be even better than he was last year. A lot of things would have to happen, but I think they could be middle of the road. I think that's realistic, but if that's going to happen, then you need your defense to be top five, six, in that range.
So when I asked you originally what concerns you the most, you said the defense. But among that defense, is there a level of it that you're like, I just don't like it?
Not necessarily, but I do wonder about the age, and we've talked about that. We're talking about a team that doesn't have a lot of young guys, and Chris Harris is not going to be at this level forever. And, even Von Miller's not going to be at this. I don't think Von Miller's hitting a wall this year or anything, but you have to start thinking about these things. What if Bradley Chubb is not the savior? He's not the guy on the other side. He's not DeMarcus Ware. He's a rookie pass rusher. Rookie pass rushers generally struggle. I just wonder, maybe they just lost their edge a little bit. Maybe you've lost some of the things that really made that defense bite. That was just, that made it one of the legendary defenses. We're going to look back 20 years from now and say, wow, that 2015 Broncos defense. We're going to put them in 2000 Ravens, 2002 Buccaneers, 2015 Broncos.
I think they belong there.
Yes, absolutely. They carried that team to a Super Bowl. They deserve that spot. I'm not sure if it's the same. Do you think it's the same defense and that was just a one-year blip last year?
Well, I think context is everything. And I look at the pieces and I don't think piece for piece it's a incredible far cry than what it was 2 or 3 years ago. But when you look at just time and again, the context of why, whatever was happening, why was it happening?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the defense was consistently downtrodden for a couple different reasons. Where the position they were put in and mm-hmm. also the responsibility on their shoulders. Was this like, was any defense in football asked to keep the team afloat the way that this defense has been asked the last two seasons.
No, not off the top of my head, I can't say no, that they were the one. And I get that. If you're telling me you just come to work every day and you're beat down because you know the offense ain't helping us this week. If we don't pitch a shutout, we ain't going to win. Yeah, I get that. And that could very well be the case.
I think that's part of it. I'm not making excuses either, because there was times that, you know, you didn't have to, Philly scored more than half a hundred on you.
Right.
It wasn't because there was a fumble every play and you were, you know, right. in this terrible position.
They were still executing on you. Right. They were still moving the ball down the field on you. And things have changed. We have a new coordinator. Wade Phillips ain't running the show anymore.
That's true.
And Malik Jackson's not here anymore. And he was a great, great player for the Broncos for a little time there. Now Aqib Talib's gone. These things chip away, and it's not necessarily – yes, the brand names are still there. I still like Von Miller. I still like Derek Wolfe. I still like Chris Harris. But you start chipping away and put guys in different roles, and it's just not the same chemistry that it used to be back again. Even 2016, they were unbelievable that season. It just wasn't the same last year.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But what I'm hoping is that it's so – I'm hoping it's so different offensively.
Right.
That the defense is going to be really put in this position to be the best. I've been using this statement, the best version of themselves.
Yeah,
that Bradley Roby's job isn't going to be as difficult as it would have been last year, because we're going to have a lead in the second half, and you're going to be able to rush the passer, and you're going to be able to jump around or be a ball hawk. You know what I mean?
Right, and you're not – every drive's not starting at your own 49-yard line because the offense just went three and out.
Right.
And I mean, I get that. If that's the case, then yes, the defense is going to bounce back. But I was at least worried enough that this defense has slipped from top five to top 10 to say, you know what? If you're in the 10 range, you're asking your offense to do an awful lot at that point. And I don't know. I think they bounce back. I think that they're going to be.
I do.
Yes. If I had to predict, but it's not assured anymore. It used to be last year. I thought, okay, top five defense, pencil them in, and we'll see what happens with the offense. I don't think that's necessarily. I'm so confident in that anymore. I'm confident, but not. I don't think it's a lock by any means.
Well, you mentioned Bradley Chubb before, and you said, what if it turns out he's not, you know, what the Broncos expect him to be in his first year? I'll ask you the same question I've asked Stoked, and really. Every host here at The Fan has been asked at one point in time or another, is Bradley Chubb starting against the Seattle Seahawks on September 9th?
Oh, goodness, yes. No question. He should. If he's not, then something went wrong. I mean, fifth picks, unless you're like in a weird quarterback situation where you're supposed to say, the fifth pick better play. He better play every single game. Yes. No, if he's not starting week one, it's because he got hurt or because something went wrong.
You are... talking my language here.
No question. I mean, it just happened. Yes.
Because Shaq Barrett's a good player.
Yeah.
Shane Ray's got potential to have a great season.
Sure.
That's the one thing. If Shane Ray came back and was playing at the level at the start of camp that you expected last year, maybe I could have the conversation, but it's...
Maybe. That's still... You have a lot invested in Bradley Chubb right now. But that matters. That does. I'm sorry. It matters.
And like you said, Bradley Chubb could have went number one. If he went number one, if he just went four spots ahead...
if the Browns took
we wouldn't even be talking about it.
That's a good pick.
But if the Broncos had the number one pick and they took Bradley Chubb, we wouldn't be talking about whether he was starting, right? He would just be starting.
It's in pen at that point. Yeah, not pencil.
Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports joining us today, filling in for Brandon Stokely. Interesting conversation being had on ESPN.com. Who will be the MVP of the AFC West? We'll get to it next. Hanging out in studio with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports. Interesting conversation, Frank, happening on ESPN.com this week. They've done a nice job this whole week, really doing a roundtable discussion with the ESPN Nation reporters. Mm-hmm. And they asked the question, who should be the MVP of the AFC West? Interesting responses from Jeff Legwold, the Denver representative. He selected Von Miller. Eric Williams, Chargers reporter, selected Philip Rivers. Adam Teicher of Kansas City. Am I saying that name right?
Teicher, yeah.
Teicher, mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs reporter, selected Joey Bosa. Mm-hmm. Thought it was an interesting one. And Paul Gutierrez from Oakland selected Philip Rivers.
It's a great question. It's fun. It's the kind of thing that
it is fun.
This moves the needle in early July. You know, we got nothing to talk about. Let's talk about MVP of the AFC West. I really think it's fascinating because you could go in a bunch of different ways here. There's many good answers here.
Is any of those answers that we heard Vaughn, Rivers, Bosa that turn you off?
No. You can make a case for any one of those guys. Bosa's great. Bosa, I mean, they're going to be really good this year. Von Miller, if you told me, you know, I wrote in my preview, we've talked about the one thing I kind of pointed out is that Von Miller's never won a Defensive Player of the Year award.
How
he's going to win one. He's going to win one. I just, it's hard for me to believe he retires without one. So is that, you know, does he have 20 sacks this season with Bradley Chubb on the other side? I could see it. Yeah, I could make it.
You could see 20 sacks.
Yeah, why not?
I like it.
I mean, look, am I betting on over 19 and a half? No. But, yes, he's got that kind of year in him. No question at all. Bradley Chubb will help Von Miller. He's not going to take sacks away. He's going to help him. Because you can't just automatically say, well, we're going to ship Von every single time. You got to worry about the guy on the other side, too. So Von's a fine pick for this question.
You said you wouldn't bet the over if it was 19 and a half. But what are your expectations, personally?
Here's a question. I'll put it this way to you. If I set the over-under for sacks for Vaughn and Bradley combined at 25, what do you got? Do you got over-under 25 for Vaughn and Bradley combined?
Over.
I could see that. I could totally see that. Like 16 from Vaughn and, you know, 9 or 10 from, yeah, absolutely. Like I think that's the stat that we need to worry about with the Broncos is how many of those guys have combined, not necessarily Vaughn. I think Vaughn gets in the 16 range. Which would put him back in a Pro
that
Bowl.
Would be great.
It would put him in the Defensive Player of the Year category. Yeah, no question at all.
And if you're going to be Defensive Player of the Year, you're likely having a lot of team success
yes,
with that.
Yes.
For you personally,
mm-hmm.
if I said, Frank, who's the MVP of the AFC West? What
right.
do you see?
You know, maybe I'm just trying to come up with something contrarian here. I really like Patrick Mahomes because.
Whoa!
Yes, going off the board. I think he's set up so well. We rarely see a first-year quarterback step into a situation like this. First, he had a year to sit and learn, which I'm not a big proponent of, but it helps in some ways, especially with a guy like that with a really good coaching staff. He is going to be throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, and when defenses finally say, okay, we'll give you the run,
all right,
let's hand it off to Kareem Hunt. Patrick Mahomes impressed the heck out of me in preseason last year. He was impressive here up the road in that December 31st game.
He passes the eye test like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I saw him at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. I was just hanging out or waiting for something. I saw him. I was like, oh my goodness. This guy's huge.
Big dude.
You big dude. Like the broadest shoulders you could imagine. He's walking through like, yeah, the eye test is passed in every single way of Patrick Mahomes. I think could he fail? Yes, of course. He's an unknown. He's still pretty raw, I think. But if you told me, like, at the end of the year, Patrick Mahomes ends up with 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns?
Oh, man.
Why not?
I know.
Why not?
No.
That's the ceiling. And that's the best-case scenario, but he has that in him, I think.
You know what? He is going to your very first statement. Patrick Mahomes is going to be put into a position that Dak Prescott was put into his rookie year.
But a great comparison, sure.
But with even better offensive weapons.
Better receivers, for
now,
sure.
He doesn't have
not
to fight the line.
Yeah, right.
But look, a
better coach, probably, though.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid.
Yeah,
Andy Reid is a heck of a coach. I mean, and I know that they lost Matt Nagy to the Bears, but Andy Reid always does well with offense.
Is it Nagy?
It is.
I've been calling him Nagy.
Because of the team previews, I do a video for each one. I spent way too much time reading up all these Chicago articles on how to pronounce Matt Nagy.
Wow. Okay, Nagy.
I would just say Nagy because I'm you know, but I'm lazy.
I got to put that in my memory bank. But to the Dak Prescott comparison, Dak was able to turn around, hand it to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes,
he was able to, you know, Cole Beasley almost, you know, was. He was a monster that first year for Dak and Dez. And
Dez was still Dez, yeah.
You could argue fairly, without getting thrown out of the bar for suggesting it, that Kansas City has the best trio of wide receiver, tight end, running back, right up there in all of pro football, maybe with the Steelers, with
Steelers
James,
don't
Antonio,
Vance McDonald? I mean, Vance McDonald's their tight end. They don't have a tight end like Travis Kelce.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, they got Le'Veon. I mean, I guess the Giants are actually up there. Saquon Odell, Evan Ingram.
I would still take Kansas City's trail, I think. Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce.
Okay.
And you got Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins.
He changes it. I mean, they paid him 16. They overpaid him by, you know, $16 million a year, but he's still really good.
There's no question.
They got some guys, man. They got dudes, for sure. Who you picking? I'm going off the board. I'm getting crazy with Mahomes. Who you got?
You know who I want to say?
I know you want to say.
I want to say Case Keenum.
Oh, okay.
I want to say Case Keenum coming off.
If we're going basic definition of most valuable,
because Frank, think how the optics would work. He went from a 12-win Minnesota team. He leaves. The Broncos are 5-11. He gets injected at the most important position in football. And if the Broncos win 10 games.
Yes. And we're all going to say, look how much better he is than that three-headed monster last year.
It'd be a five-game turnaround. It'd be the biggest in the NFL, likely.
Yep.
So I could see that scenario happening. But I could also see two others happening very, 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 very easily. One, Phillip Rivers goes out and he's
thrown. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Phillip Rivers is going to throw for 4,500 yards.
Every Denver fan is cringing right now. You Everyone.
Know? But I'm just keeping
it
real.
I love the Denver hate for Phillip Rivers.
I love the guy. Okay.
I do too.
Now, I hate him. I'll hate him on that particular Sunday. I'll be pulling for the Broncos. But Phillip Rivers is one of my favorite characters in the NFL at any position. He's a walking, talking Hall of Famer.
He's great.
They're going to win a bunch of games this year, probably. Mm-hmm. We're assuming. With the Chargers, you never really know. But I could see that happening. But the other one, Frank, happening is Kareem Hunt. I could see Kareem Hunt being the MVP in football. Okay.
Wow.
Let's not forget, Kareem Hunt walked in the league and led the National Football League in rushing. So
he's good, yes.
I don't think it's a crazy suggestion, especially considering the way that he'll be able to contribute in the passing game as well.
He's a really talented dude. Yeah.
53 receptions this past year. 53 receptions.
And I know Andy Reid has said in the offseason, we want to get him more receptions. We want to get him more highly productive touches, in space. Yeah, so if he gets the 75 catches, maybe, yeah. But I will say, if we're being realistic, we're talking about the MVP, voters vote for quarterbacks. That's what happens. Since I believe it's 94, every MVP has either been a quarterback, a running back who has rushed for 2,000 yards, or a running back who has set a touchdown record. Everyone. So Kareem Hunt probably has to rush for 2,000 to get MVP.
You know, it's going to have to be something like that or flirting with it. But, and think about this.
He could. He might,
This is just... I got to say this, and I'm not being negative, okay? Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one. But he also had the 53 receptions I just referred to. Had he caught 53 receptions for the Broncos, he would have been their second leading receiver.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I know.
Think about that. He would have been the second leading receiver. And he's a running back that led the league on the ground in rushing yards. I mean, whew.
Had to go back there, right? Just had to twist that knife, didn't you?
Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports filling in for Stoke today, having a ball. Shift gears here. Are we standing by for a Broncos inevitable? And I'll explain what I mean next. Are we standing by for a Broncos inevitable? Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports filling in for Brandon Stokely today. What I mean by this, This thought was sparked 2 days ago when I was reading one of these roundtables on ESPN.com, and they were breaking down the hottest seat in the AFC West, okay? And when it came to the Chargers, ESPN Nation reporter Eric Williams, he gave a breakdown about Vance Joseph, and he thought that Vance Joseph's seat was the hottest in the AFC West. Reasonable take. But the way that he ended his breakdown, Frank, quote, Elway brought back former head coach and good friend Gary Kubiak as senior personnel advisor in July of last year, and then expanded his role to include personnel contribution in the lead up to free agency and in the draft. Kubiak bowed out as the team's head coach after the 2016 season due to health issues, but he could be tempted to return if his old job opens up again, end quote. Gary Kubiak, Frank, is now the only senior personnel advisor in the Broncos organization.
Mm-hmm.
Are we witnessing the inevitable? Are we on the sidelines watching this train go down the track, knowing that the ultimate destination is a return to either a coaching role or a GM role?
It's tough because, I remember when Gary bowed out and his press conference, I don't think there was anything fake about it. I think he really was truly burned out. And he knows, like, this is a grind. This is a tough, tough job. He's had health issues that we all know about. But I also know that a lot of these guys step away and they miss it intently because there's nothing in your life that can replace it.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that from players all the time. It's the same for coaches. There's no scoreboard in your life. You know, there's nothing that at the end of the day on Sunday, did I win or did I lose? You know, and I get you get a piece of that being in the front office, but I think when you've been a head coach like Gary Kubiak has, you have to think about it, right? Like, I mean, I don't know him well enough to know that he necessarily wants to do this again, but I can see it. I can see him being like, boy, if John came to me and was like, hey, I'm gonna fire Vance, do you want the job back?
Oh, man.
It'd be crazy. I don't think that's going to happen, but you can see why that would be so tempting for a guy, right? And I think that's where we got to start. Let's say it all goes bad for Vance Joseph this year and he's not the Broncos coach next year. You'd have to have that conversation with Gary Kubiak, right? He won a Super Bowl for you. Elway's working right alongside him. That conversation would have to happen. I just don't know if Gary would want to do it anymore.
My gut tells me that he wouldn't take it that far in a return to a coaching role because I think he knows what it takes and knows what he has to give right now. But you can be in a management role, in a GM role, and grind, but it's still less in the trenches, I think, as a head coach. Do you think that's fair? Or
I don't know. No, I honestly don't. I think that when it's a different grind. And you're not maybe managing personalities. Like there's a lot that goes along with being a head coach that you don't deal with the GM job, but you're dealing with the draft every day. You're dealing with free agency every day. And these guys, are, you know, this guy's on waivers. Do we put him on the practice? You have to know the whole league so well that I think being in that head chair that John Elway's in now it's comparable at least. I don't think it's a kickback job compared to being a head coach. That's a heck of a job, too, and I think Gary's probably going to know that if he hasn't already, just from being around it.
So do you think ultimately this is it for Gary?
I think so. I think he's probably he's still, and I'm guessing. I'm guessing on a guy I don't know well. He's in a job where he's still in the game. He's still get that competitive juices going. He's doing something he probably really loves, but he's not in that serious, serious grind where you're just like, my health is going now because I'm working 20 hours a day.
For Vance, as it relates to Vance, I had this conversation yesterday with Troy. I've had it with Stoke. What does Vance have to do? Is there a threshold in your mind that it's like a bare minimum? You've got to hit this mark to even be considered to be retained.
And here, I think the answer is no, because I believe you can tell yourself two different stories that the Broncos go, let's say 8-8, right? If it's an 8-8 where your young players don't come along, and, you know, I mean, you kind of get, you catch a couple breaks, and it's that kind of 8-8 where you're not like, oh my goodness, Bradley Chubb came along and the future is bright. Is it a kind of 8-8 where Royce Freeman leads your team in rushing and Bradley Chubb has 10 sacks and just other things maybe don't go right injury wise? That's why I don't think you can put a number on it, because I think more for Vance Joseph this year than just a number, just a record. I think the eye test has to be passed. I think the young players have to develop. I think he's got to make better decisions on some things that we've talked about ad nauseum since the end of last year. I think that it's more of an eye test for Vance than just, hey, you got to hit these amount of wins. Now, the eye test doesn't matter if he goes 3-13. Like that number, yeah, you got to have at least some amount of wins. But I don't really think there's a threshold. Maybe there is, but I just don't see that.
It's going to have to be, what does it look like? What does it feel like? And then ultimately, what is it moving forward?
Right, right.
And someone says, why do you guys want to fire Vance Joseph so bad? That's from David.
John Elway wanted to fire him at the end of last year. He at least considered it. He considered it.
None of us are saying that we want Vance Joseph fired. But when his boss says out loud that he has to sleep on it to bring him back the following year. And we're having discussions on who has the hottest seat of anyone in the West, and three of the four people say Vance Joseph. It's so reasonable. It's a low-hanging fruit take. It is so fair for us to speculate before a game in 2018 is even played, just because of how sour the milk was in 2017.
Right. I thought John Elway did Vance Joseph a disservice with
he
that.
He did. Oh, he did.
He put him on the hot seat.
There's no doubt.
I didn't put him on the hot seat. John Elway did. If John Elway comes out the moment the season's done and says, I don't care what our record was, I like Vance, I'm going... It's a different mindset. Then we are making this up. We are putting him on... I didn't put him on the hot seat. You didn't put him on the hot seat. John Elway did by saying, again, I have to sleep on this. Well, okay, that means you're considering firing the guy. That means that he's already on the hot seat for 2018.
Do you think John would like to have that statement back?
I don't know. Just be John Elway. does he regret anything? Like, I don't think so.
I think part of
him wanted that pressure on Vance.
Oh yeah?
A little bit.
To
make his seat hot.
Yeah.
Hey, that's okay. I was under pressure in my career. 2-minute warning. I wanted the ball. Let's see how you handle this pressure. I think a little bit of that. I don't think that was his main focus, but I don't think he minds it. I don't think he minds seeing how Vance deals with this adversity.
It's an interesting thing because that's John's guy.
That
that's
is.
John's guy. Vance. He tried to get Vance before Vance could even get here. I mean, he called his shot like Babe Ruth did.
Right.
Like, this thing, this is my guy.
Yep.
And then almost fired him in the first
and
year.
And then also you look at some of the other guys who got hired last year. Everybody wanted Kyle, right?
That's right.
Kyle's up in San Francisco, and everybody loves him. Sean McVay was available. Sean McVay's in L.A. right now, and he's the coach of the year, reigning coach of the year.
Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn did a great job last year. They were 0-4, and he could have lost that team, and he didn't. Vance Joseph was the worst hire last year, I think, anyway, off the top of my head. I mean, you're right.
Look, looking at it objectively, it'd be hard to argue.
Right. That doesn't mean he's going to be. That doesn't mean he can't go 11-5 this year.
No lifetime in judgment.
But I think the fact that there were so many other good hires around the league, also, John Elway's not in the hot seat, but you look and you say, this was his guy. He did call his shot, just like you said, and it's not working out so far. That's on John Elway right now.
Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports filling in for Stoke today. Interesting one here, Frank. We saw a streak snapped last night. I'll give you one streak for the Broncos that has to end in 2018. So we saw a streak that needed to end. Boy, did it ever. It needed to end last night. And that was the fact that it was a double franchise record. Not sure if you realize this, Frank. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports hanging out with me and filling in for Stoke today. It's a double franchise record. The Arizona Diamondbacks had never, ever won 9 consecutive games at a road park. The Rockies had never let a visitor come into Coors Field and win 9 consecutive games. Thank the good Lord above that streak was snapped. Last night.
Very close game, too.
19-2 drubbing, just one run away from the Coors record of 20 runs scored in a single game. There's 5 jacks, everyone, everything. You get a homer. There's another streak around here that needs to end in 2018. Frank.
Yeah.
It has been 1,029 days since the Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Back on September 7th, 2015, the Broncos have literally won a Super Bowl since the last time they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The Jamal Charles fumble game. That's
Which
the last
seems
time.
Like, that really does seem like a generation ago at this point.
Yeah, in NFL years.
Life moves fast, yeah.
Is this the year? Is this the year that the Broncos can knock off the Chiefs? Considering I know the talent that they have, but considering they have a rookie quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, and the Broncos allegedly have a more stable veteran, is this the year?
I guess that's the argument, right? Like you say, you rattle the rookie a little, or not a rookie, but he'll be a first year starter, Patrick Mahomes. You get that defense after him, the pass rush coming from each side with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. Maybe, yeah. Well, I mean, they could. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to pick that. I like the Chiefs a lot more than the Broncos this year. But, yeah, that's the path. If you can get in Mahomes' head a little bit, he hasn't seen a defense like this maybe. Yeah.
Are Chiefs for you, because you just said that you have the Chiefs a long way ahead of the Broncos.
Sure.
Are the Chiefs the division favorite in your mind?
No. It's the team in Los Angeles. I won't call them the San Diego Chargers for once. The Chargers are loaded, even without Hunter Henry, who they lost, obviously, their tight end. I think the Chargers are the most talented team in the division. I think for the last 12 games of last season, they were among the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
They just got off to that terrible start. Now, the Chargers could screw it up because they're the Chargers. They always seem to find a way to screw it up, and they have no home field advantage, which worries me. But I think they're the most talented team in the division. Let's say that.
Let's table that conversation for just a couple minutes and welcome in Craig Gass, who is a renowned comedian. You probably know him and you don't even know that you know him. His voice has been used on King of Queens, Sex and the City, now heard on Family Guy. He'll be performing at Silver Music Hall in Lakewood on Sunday, the 15th. Craig, welcome in.
I'm excited to be here. I'm a huge sports nut, and I book all my shows around the United States around sporting events. So I'm going to games at Coors Field this weekend. I went to Coors Field once 10 years ago, and the game was interrupted by a tornado warning. I've never been to a baseball game that was, and that was the coolest thing. And I remember the evacuation process was to get out on the concourse, where I stood with a bunch of fans who were all pointing at a funnel cloud that was forming, and everyone was chanting, "Tornado! Tornado!" And I remember thinking, that's not good, though, right? That's not good for it. Like, yeah. But I am a voice guy. I do celebrity voices on Family Guy and American Dad. I've always been able to do any voice that I hear because of how I grew up. And this is not a joke. This is a true story. Everyone in my family is deaf. My mom, my dad, and my sister are all completely deaf. So growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard on TV.
Come on.
And yeah, and I never got an accent from the Bronx, which is where I'm from. And everybody in the Bronx
Sounds a serious accent.
Yeah, they sound like Tracy. Everyone sounds like Tracy Morgan. Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. That is crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy. Everybody sounds like that. So the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. Like Christopher Walken has a real stop and go kind of voice. Well, he'll talk every once in a while. He'll stop and then he'll keep going. Or Adam Sandler, who's really silly and he's always doing dumb jokes with silly voices. Shibby-doo. Like, yeah. So, or Al Pacino, which is a voice that women love to hear.
That's a good one.
Even though he loves Tia! For no reason. And so they use me on Family Guy and American Dad. And with the small amount of success that I've gotten to where I can travel around the country, I book my stuff around sporting
events.
Yeah,
so you literally tailor-make, and we were talking about this during a break, you tailor-make your a comedic schedule. And again, he'll be at a Silver Music Hall on Sunday.
In Lakewood. The way, the info is at getgas.com. Getgas with two S's.com. But yes, around sporting events.
And you have your Mariners a gear up top on right now, yep, and your Seattle Seahawks jersey on right now, which I know folks around here don't appreciate.
But you have to understand, I'm a football fan, and I had I was really proud to have a moment with Peyton Manning a couple years ago. I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. Now, this was around Super Bowl 50.
Super Bowl 50, and I walked into Peyton, and I go to the Super Bowl every year, and I talk to the players and get funny stuff from the players. I just tried to make it as silly and just fun as possible. And I was really proud of what I had for Peyton Manning. I walked up to Peyton and I go, "Peyton, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I have an idea that I want to pitch to you. It's a game show called Peyton Manning Trivia, where it is impossible for you to get any question wrong." And he went, "Impossible?" And I said, "For you, it'll be impossible. And we're going to do a speed round right now. What is the largest city in the state of Nebraska?" "Omaha." "Where is the College World Series played at every year?" "Omaha." And then the answer to every question. I made him say Omaha 10 times in a row and then corrected his answers at the end and went, "Omaha, Omaha, Omaha, you are correct, sir." And it was just this dumb thing. And ESPN and NFL on Fox took my material and put it on line, and they gave me credit for it, which is really nice of them. And it went crazy viral. Same thing with Tom Brady this year. I asked Tom, I wanted to play a game this year called Can I Make Bill Belichick Laugh? Which I thought was an impossibility.
I think I remember this.
And yeah. Tom Brady actually gave me some advice about, he said, you just got to mention some key words. Mention lacrosse.
Oh,
mention
that's right. Navy.
The Navy.
Right.
Mention the Navy. You know, mention, and I was like, Bon Jovi? And he said, Bon Jovi? Because for some reason, Bill Belichick's a huge Bon Jovi.
He's like good friends with him, I think, yeah.
But my question for you guys is, do you, because athletes are outside my world. I'm used to being around famous comedians. I'm used to being around famous musicians. But athletes are like, oh, man, I don't even understand that world. Are there people outside your world that make you nervous? Because you can be around Peyton Manning and not get nervous, right?
No, yeah.
I've outside never... my world. So outside the sports world.
Outside the sports world.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys are around some of the most famous athletes in the world,
sure.
And you get used to it.
Very used to it. I've talked to Jordan and Magic and, you know, Peyton Manning and Elway, and it doesn't
sure.
faze me.
Okay.
The one that shook me up a little bit, when the All-Star game was in Denver, the NBA All-Star
game. NBA All-Star game.
06,
yeah,
I believe.
Yep.
I was in the Pepsi Center hallway, and Beyonce walked by me.
Oh, wow.
And she is the most gorgeous person I've ever seen in my life.
I get that.
Oh, my goodness.
I totally get that. So you understand when I say to you, and this is stupid, because I've learned that nobody else cares except for me. I met Matt Hasselbeck once. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But I saw him in the hallway, and I went, Matt! And Matt turned around, and he went, what's up? And I went, what's up? My voice got that high. And then I realized, oh, my God, I have a camera phone. And I asked an usher, and I go, hey, can you go real quick, just take a picture? Matt, come on. Just real quick, real quick. If you look at the picture on my Facebook page, I look like I'm 12 years old. I'm shaking
nice.
In the picture. Plus, Matt Hasselbeck is a full foot taller than me. So I'm grabbing him and looking up, and I'm going, he takes the picture and goes, all right, I'll see you later. And he walks away. And I'm standing in the hallway going, that's it? Like, you can't.
What does he want him to tell you? Like, go out wide?
There's something about meeting somebody who you really admire.
And is not in your realm.
Where you want to stretch out a moment that is clearly over. I get that. It's over. But I want more out of this. So as Matt's walking away, I went, Matt! And he turned around, and I just put my hand out, and I go, come on. Just come on. Because I thought, if we shake hands, then we'll start talking, right?
Yeah.
And if we start talking, you'll teach me how to throw a spiral. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
I just know. But I know shaking hands is the beginning of a friendship, and Matt Hasselbeck reluctantly turned around and started walking towards me, and I went, oh, my God, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And these are the only words that came out of my mouth. I went, you make me so happy. I guess, what? And I walked away analyzing that for 10 years on sports stations all over the world where I said, you make me so happy to my favorite quarterback. 5 years ago, I'm broadcasting from the Super Bowl Media Center in New Orleans. When Matt Hasselbeck started walking through the media center, I ran over really quick. And I said, Matt, I don't want to bother you. I just want to tell you I'm a big fan. My name's Craig. And he went, Craig Gass. And I went, shut up! Are you serious? And he goes, you're the guy. You're the guy with the story, right?
I made you happy.
And he goes, wait a minute. Hold on. Brett, come here. I look over. Brett Favre starts walking towards me in slow motion. Matt Hasselbeck goes, Brett, this is Craig Gass. This is one of the funniest comedians on the planet. Now Brett Favre seems to be floating towards me. And Brett goes, what's up, dude? I love stand-up comedy. And I went, I do too. And I started crying.
No, you didn't.
I started crying to Brett Favre.
Matt
Hasselbeck. At one point, Matt Hasselbeck said, this guy does great impressions. Watch this. Craig, do some impressions for Brett. Do some impressions. And every impression I did was of somebody crying. Every impression was, can I get a picture with you? Okay. All right. I took the picture. The next day, I wake up in my hotel room. I look at my Twitter page. Matt Hasselbeck is following me on Twitter. I freaked out, called my friend Jason into my room. He looks at my laptop, and he goes, Matt Hasselbeck is following me. I go, Matt Hasselbeck is following me on Twitter. And he very calmly said, you should tweet him. And I was like, I should. I got excited and emotional looking at the picture, and I made the mistake of writing a caption while I was in an emotional state.
Uh-huh. What'd you say?
I can't even. It's inappropriate for the air. You can find it on my Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/ILoveGass with two S's and go to my profile pictures, and you'll see it. Brett Favre smiling, Matt Hasselbeck smiling, me And you'll see it all there. But the show is on Sunday night. I'll tell you the line on stage on Sunday night out in Lakewood when you come out to the show. The
joined here by Craig Gass, who's in studio. He'll be at Silver Music Hall in Lakewood this Sunday.
Huge sports fan. Come out and watch me cry. Tickets are at getgass.com. Get Gass with two S's.
We got 30 seconds left. Have you ever just totally fallen on your face and bombed?
Those are the best stories. I did a show once in Oklahoma City where the guy who opened for me is obsessed with the left side of the stage. And he kept looking over and going, Miss, am I that ugly that you won't even look at me? I mean, she won't even look me in the face. I mean, what are you, blind or something? Oh, my God, are you blind? Oh, my God. And the whole crowd just froze. And the guy tried to stop and go, so you guys ever go to Walmart? And the whole crowd went, who cares about Walmart? You're making fun of a blonde woman. And everybody got upset. The only people laughing in the room are me and the other comedians in the back of the room. Because we've been in that struggle before. We said something wrong. And you got to get yourself out of it.
He is.
Luckily, not that bad.
Craig Gass. He'll be at Silver Music Hall in Lakewood this Sunday. Awesome. Thank you for stopping by.
Please,
best of luck on Sunday, man.
Thank you. All the info, getgass.com. Get Gass with two S's. Thank you.
Is the Hall of Fame doing Terrell Owens dirty? Take a dive into that. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?